Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. It's so great to be here again. And I hope you are just had a, we're starting off the new year, and I hope you had wonderful holidays. I'm actually back in sunny Hawaii. I know it's really cold in many places in the country, and depending on where you are in the world. So we have got a wonderful show today. Usually we do the first half real estate and the second half self-help, etc. But today I'm delighted to bring on a guest who's going to stay with us for the entire show because he is such an expert in what he does and also is motivational. So he's going to stay on the whole time. So this is going to be really fun. And for those of you that want to call in, the call-in number is 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. You can also email radio@realtyuniversal.com. We welcome your suggestions in the future as we have many archive listeners that you can listen later. So you can always email and ask questions, and we will get back to you. So without further ado, I'd like to tell you about our guest and speaker today. His name is Ed Nawaral. He has been in the industry over 25 years, been in the mortgage industry, truly an expert. And today he's going to talk to us about renovation loan programs, discussing home path renovations when purchasing, do's and don'ts, nationwide financing, also local, where you use little of your own money, get money for repairs. And they're not only FHA 203K loans, for those of you agents and brokers who are listening to this will know what those are, but loans that are conventional, some without PMI. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I'm just really impressed with what he does. If you're an agent or broker, we're also going to go over tips to make this year your best year. And he's, gosh, they call, you may have heard of Ed as the mortgage doctor. He's just amazing. So without further ado, I'm welcoming Ed. Hello. Thank you for coming on today.
Natalie, thank you for having me on. And first of all, I am very jealous. You're in Hawaii, and we're in beautiful Baltimore, Maryland, where it's getting down to 7 degrees tonight. And as I looked at my temperature here, it's 22 as we speak. So I'm very jealous of you being over there in Hawaii right now.
I know, and I was where you were just only a few weeks ago, so I totally get it. I was talking to Kay Dietz, who you know, a little while ago, and she just told me it was 20-some degrees and very, very cold, huh?
Yep, so. It's supposed to drop down. They say 7, and I also hear 5 degrees tomorrow morning, so I can't wait. But anyhow,
you have to
thank you very much for having me on your show, and you know, I'm open for any questions and so forth, but a little bit of background. I got into mortgage business 25 years ago, looking for something of a challenge, kind of boring. I'd done a lot of jobs after college and all, and I really liked the idea of helping people. I use the words helping people, and every day I wake up, I'm thinking, how can I help them save money? How can I help them with their dreams? And over the last 25 years, I became a specialist. I looked at the market, a lot of lenders out there working for banks, brokers, and so forth, and I said, you know, how can I set myself apart? And what I basically did was I chose 20 years ago to do construction loans. That's where people buy a lot and build a house, pick a custom builder and drawings and plans. And, you know, I had a great run. I had a real good run at that. Done hundreds of those. But what happened was, just like, you know, when the market turned, everybody's sitting there with their present home and the value dropped. So they didn't really, you know, couldn't really sell it to walk away with enough money. So
was this
that
like
market
in the early
dried
90s,
up.
Like early 90s you're talking about, around after the Gulf War kind of thinking?
No, I'm talking about like 5 years ago is when
and then
the
2008-10, this market. Okay.
Correct.
So
the building market.
Yeah. Amazing.
Correct, the building market. Yeah, I mean, you know, back in our heyday, we had 80 approved custom builders in 5 states. So we were definitely rocking and rolling. And, you know, one of the points that I made early on, I said, you know, I need to educate the consumer. And that's when I started doing construction seminars, you know, how to pick a lot, find a builder, build a custom home. And looking at my territory, I live in Harford County, which is just north of Baltimore, and I, you know, cover the tri-state area. But I was doing my workshops 3 times a month, 10 months out of the year for 12 years.
Wow!
So we built up, a nice little following there, and it was kind of like a meet the press panel. We did open marketing. Brought in a builder, a real estate agent, a title person, and we did it in 3 locations in the 3 counties, and non-threatening, question and answers. We weren't trying to sell anything. We just wanted to bestow our knowledge on anyone who came, and that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
I'm just trying. I want to get just for me, for the timeline, right? Because I've been in, like, so you were in 25 years. You got in. I just, because it's really interesting to me, and it's I love how it, you know, when we become experts, and you're an expert, and one thing I've noticed about us experts, we don't always realize how much of an expert we are, right, until we get out and start doing these other things, because we think everybody knows what we've spent years learning. Just so you got in. And you got in, and you were doing before loans. You were doing the other seminars, and I'm just trying to get a chronology for myself because I've got some questions that I really want to learn about you.
Sure. Back in 1990, when I first got in.
Okay.
That's when I started in 1990, and at that time, you know, being new in the business and green, you know, I didn't feel comfortable dealing with, you know, the tougher loans or the more professional people, because I'm green, and what I started doing from day one was first-time home buying seminars.
Okay.
And one of my friends, you know, gave me a canned kit that he used, and he said, you know, just stick with the basics and what everybody wants to learn. First-time home buyers, how much down and how much per month, you know, similar to buying a car.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, what can I afford? And, you know, can you help me with my credit? And, you know, we were one of the pioneers in this area doing them. And then after like a year or so, then everybody was doing them. So that worked well. I did the first-time home buying seminars for 3 years.
Were you a loan officer? I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just said when you were doing those seminars, you were a loan officer. So at the time you're doing them, then you're going to do the loans for the first-time buyers is what basically? That's what I was saying, because you were in the
correct.
Mortgage
mm-hmm.
business. So, and then the construction seminar, same thing. You were doing the loan business. Okay, so go ahead. Sorry.
I've been in the loan business all the time and kind of a trainer, speaker, educator. And one of the things that, you know, that I learned early on is if you're going to be a specialist or, you know, a surgeon, you know, you really got to go deep and you really have to understand and know your product and put yourself in the client's shoes. And make them feel comfortable because buying the first home, it's like, what do I do? I don't want to ask a dumb question. And, you know, I get bad credit. So, like, you know, can I get a loan and so forth? And early on, I mean, I had some major challenges with credit, like every first-time home buyer. And, you know, one of my toughest loans was a double divorce, double bankruptcy. And I was kind of glad to open up, you know, my workshops to saying, hey, I don't know if anybody can beat me, but, you know, is there anybody here in the room that has a triple, you know, triple divorce, triple bankruptcy? And, of course, it drew a smile, and, you know, that's how I would open up my trainings, by letting them know that.
Wow. You did it.
Yeah, and it's kind of letting them know that, you know, I just not only do the easy loans, but we can do tough credit challenge loans.
And I got to step in right now, and you're talking about in the early 90s, for example. I've been in the real estate industry since 85, and in my side, I've always believed we need to know the loans and the products, not, you know, nowadays the agents just say, turn them over and don't even know if the people qualify or not, although, you know, et cetera. But back then when you were doing the loans, that was pre-credit score days. Remember, that was when you actually had to tear apart the package, the underwriters looked at the packages, you had a lot of different situations where you could or couldn't get loans done, so you really learned those loans inside and out at that time, I would think, which really makes a difference for what you do today. I commend you because I understand, you know, getting people through in those situations back then that were so challenging. We didn't have, didn't you think the loans were kind of tougher? On one hand, tougher. On another hand, they did have no-doc loans back then. What do you think about when you compare the loans back then having to get challenges through to today? Do you think it's easier or harder to get them through in those types of scenarios in today's market using credit scoring, et cetera?
Well, it's kind of like I'm telling people we have to pay for our sins of the past, and
Okay. Today
it has to fit inside the square box. I mean, there's no give. Ratios are tight, credit's tight, and the banks, mortgage companies are so worried about the buybacks where the investor, for one reason or another, just decides that they don't want the loan and just push it back. Ratios, I mean, before, I mean, it was like automatic underwriting where, you know, you ran it through the underwriting machine, and if it approved it, it could have a 50% ratio, 55% ratio, 60% ratio. Today, those days are long gone. It's strictly what a year ago was 45% for a back-end ratio is now 43, meaning your mortgage payment and all your bills can't be over 43% of your monthly gross income. So it's gotten much tighter, and believe it or not, it just loosened up here 2 weeks ago. We used to have 100% financing, as you know. We had the no-doc loans. We had the 105s and the 125% purchase loans. Today, they cut back a year ago from the 97 down to 95, where you had to put at least 5% down if you went conventionally. But 2 weeks ago, the investors came back and said, hey, you know, you guys are doing a pretty good job. You're scrubbing up, you know, your loans, better credit scores, tighter rules and regulations. We're gonna come back with the 97, where you can now buy a house 3% down conventionally.
That's fantastic, and that's on. Is there what? That's the conventional. That's amazing. What about the private mortgage insurance on that product?
Well, again, depending on the credit score, there is lender-paid mortgage insurance and borrower-paid mortgage insurance. So everybody knows that if you put 20% down, you have no mortgage insurance. But
except
there's also a new program. Correct.
Right.
And correct. FHA, you got mortgage insurance all the time, regardless. But now with the conventional, you can do a lump sum up front. You can pay a lump sum, depending on your credit score, one time, and not have to put the 20% down.
When you say lump sum, though, it's not the 5%. How large is the lump sum?
Well, for instance, you got to put your 5% down, and if you have a 740 credit score, I just helped somebody today. If you have a 740 credit score, it is 1.75, 1.75% of your loan amount is a one-time fee that you buy the mortgage insurance up front.
That is wonderful.
And
that is fantastic.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's no more $200 or $300 a month anymore. It's just, you know, 1.75%. Now, according, you know, to the chart, you know, if your score is under 740, that 1.75 may go to 2.25. And if you're down in the 660 range, you know,
wow.
it's going to be more costlier.
Higher. It's going to be, you know, it's funny because when they started scoring, you know, that I like the old days when they could actually look at a situation. I remember getting a gentleman through in Pikesville, Maryland, back in the late 80s, who had a bankruptcy, and he truly had a forced bankruptcy. He was stabbed multiple times. Thank God he lived, but he was stabbed, you know, walking out somewhere. And luckily he lived. And but so he had a truly forced bankruptcy due to hospital bills, et cetera, et cetera. And I was able to get him a loan in the late 80s, which we probably couldn't have done today because of this scoring thing. You know, the whole underwriting guidelines are so different. But a year and a half ago, 660, 680 was a good score. Now they want them closer to 700 and above, right? It's not as good. It's funny how they're getting,
absolutely.
They want them higher and higher. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it used to be like 660 was like an A+, and now today you definitely got to be over 700, and you know, even if you're at 740, there's still a little charge for the credit risk. So it's not so it's gone up from 660 that, you know, we thought, hey, 680, 700, and now you're looking at 740 even, and but
you know,
that's
Ed,
why the
I
banks
heard...
have
terrible, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of terrible. I mean, to me, it seems kind of terrible in a way because it's, on the other hand, but when you know your stuff like you know so well, you can take the people's situations and figure out what's the best, where's the best way to take them, and if they should go FHA or conventional or what they should do. I can see why they call you the mortgage doctor now. You truly assess it, and you have the expertise, and you go, this is what we should do, right? I think it's pretty, I just want to get to one. Our show goes by so fast, and we have so much to go over. And I, you know, that you really seem really good at niching your product, and also still serving the client customer, making sure that you're really putting them into what is the best fit. So if you know, but I've noticed, and I've seen, you actually have done phenomenal focus recently on these renovation loan programs. Tell us some about these, because I, being in the business for years, always think of an FHA 203K loan. If somebody needs renovations and they're getting in with a little bit of money down, et cetera, and it looks like there's better ways to go than just that. So tell us about your focus with these renovation programs and what you think is the best way to go.
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, every realtor out there knows about the 203K program. It's been around forever. It's an FHA renovation loan, and there's a streamlined version that goes up to $35,000, and there's a full-blown which goes over $35,000. The beauty of that is it's if you don't have the 5% down, there's still a loan for you. The pros is, you know, 3.5% down. The cons are you got mortgage insurance on it, and it's a little more expensive with more inspections and a few other things that you have to do up front to get the loan approved. But, you know, if you don't have the 5% down, you have no other options. So
now
that's been around for
yeah, for our listeners, I'm sorry to cut, I'm so bad about doing that and interjecting. For our listeners, that may not understand the FHA 203K, when you say up to $35,000 or over, are you talking about the repair amount or are you talking about loan amounts? Just to clarify for listeners.
I'm talking about the repair amount. I'm sorry. Yeah,
okay,
I'm
just clarifying.
Yeah.
Well, no, we do it. I do it all the time because I know this business, like the back of my hand, I'll talk lingo and it's like, da-da-da, okay, you know. So the repair amount, and that's, okay.
The repair amount, and it has to be cosmetic, all right, not structural. So basically, if you want to buy a house and it needs a new roof, and it needs a furnace, not a big deal. You know, you could do the 203K. But if you have a bad foundation, a cracked foundation, you want to put a room addition on, a bump out on, then that would be structural involvement, and then you would have to go full-blown 203K. And, you know, that amount could go, depending on the area that you work in or live in, you know, down around the D.C. market, we're doing 203K full-blown down there up to $750,000.
Really? Fantastic.
Yeah.
$750,000.
Again, you know, but you're also looking at mortgage insurance, that you got your mortgage insurance up front, and then you have your monthly mortgage insurance.
And the 750, what's the max? What's the maximum repair on 750?
Well, $750,000 would be the loan amount.
Right.
Would be
the
loan amount. So basically,
what's the max repair that it could be that they could have?
Generally, I mean, again, it's you know, max would be like 50% of the appraised value.
Okay. Okay.
So if you have a shell, a lot of times, you know, you'll find a house down there that's been gutted, or you know, it's an older home, and you know, the new buyers want to go in and just totally strip it out. And, you know, they keep the walls and the roof and the windows, and, you know, you can go in there and totally remodel and renovate the inside of it.
That's fantastic. Up to 50% of the appraised value.
Right.
So say it's $750,000, they could actually, you know, $375,000, give or take, they could actually
sure.
get that much. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. Now, you're niching in different. There's a couple other renovation programs. So if you had that scenario and somebody was going to go buy 750, would you probably take them 203K or switch them to one of the other ones that you have?
Well, it really comes down to, you know, the different programs that are out there. For instance, let's start out with minor cosmetic. And when I say minor cosmetic, I mean repairs or replacement of items up to $10,000. And that is something called a escrow holdback. You want to buy a house, and divorce situation, I find this a lot, divorce situations, it needs new carpet, it needs new paint. The sellers don't want to pay anything until the day of settlement when their home is guaranteed sold and they're going to get their money. At that point, they generally do not have a problem with putting up the money at the settlement table to make these repairs. Again, there's a max limit of $10,000, and it cannot be anything structural, strictly cosmetic, and the repairs have to be done in 14 days.
And that's
so
under the
what I call minor.
Okay.
So minor is, you know, up to $10,000 in cost. And again, you could put a furnace in there. You know, you could put a furnace in there. You could put a heat pump in there. You know, as long as it's under the $10,000. And the contractor can get it done in 14 days. That's probably the simplest one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the simplest one. Now, and we can use that program with VA, conventional, and FHA loans. So it's not just one or the other. It's for all three loans that are out there.
That's fantastic. Okay. Okay.
Now, you know, if we have one that's over $10,000 and we know that you're not going to be able to do the repairs in 10 days, the next one, if you want to stay conventional, is our home style. And the home style is a 5% down conventional program. Depending on where you are, 5% down to 417 is the lowest down payment. And then you have the
417,000 loan amount.
$417,000 loan amount.
Okay.
And the next layer is 10% down. And, for instance, Montgomery County, Bethesda area down there, it's $625,000. So that's 10% down to $625,000. The Baltimore County, Harford County, it was just raised from $494,000 to $517,500.
Good deal.
So you could buy a house and repair it, upgrade it up to those numbers.
That is, I want to come back to that in 1 second because I want to go ahead and have you give everyone your contact information, your phone number and website too, because people listening are going to be listening later too, so they have it. What's the best office number and your website?
Sure. My office number is 443-286-1212. Again, that's 443-286-1212. And my email address is and I'll spell my last name for you, NAWOROL, Navarol, it's spelled with a W, sounds like a V, at lionbank.com, LIONBANK.com. So it's ed.navarol, NAWOROL, at lionbank.com.
And what website would they use for you specifically? Because Lion Bank would take them to anywhere, right? Everybody.
Well, Well, that is my email address right there.
Right.
That I gave you there. So,
but is there a website, or you just pretty much use the same, your company website? Just want to make sure.
I just use the same thing.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Now, going back, I just wanted to plug that in real quick because people want to hear and want to be able to get in touch with you. You also can refer people. Is it nationwide, and then you work in specific states yourself, right?
That's correct. That is correct. My area, basically, I go from Delaware all the way down to Florida.
Okay.
And all the states
nice.
In between.
Nice.
And, you know, the biggest problem with the renovation is, and why we can't spread out too far, is because you got to be able to have contractors that, you know, you can trust. And
mm-hmm.
also, if there's a problem, you know, you want to be able to either you personally or get one of your teammates, you know, from one of the local branches to be able to stop by the job. And we have branches all the way down the coast.
That's fantastic. Now, if they want to go into other states, though, can you refer them nationwide as well to other?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I have other friends and with other different companies that can do the same thing I can. And, again, there's really not a lot of us, per se, what I call the experts or the surgeons in
right.
this program, because it's not something you can just say, oh, I want to wake up and I want to do a renovation loan. You know,
exactly.
because just like a construction loan, there's a lot of moving parts.
Very, very much. So, well, that brings me to another question. We're going to go back to the home style that you were talking about. And thank you for giving your contact information, because this is amazing and people need this information. When you mentioned we're on the East Coast and then we kind of stay within because you have to have your crew and there's contractors, et cetera. So are you saying that there's a list of contractors that are approved by Lion Bank, that your company that you work with, or can they go out and get their own contractors when they are doing these repairs?
The answer is yes and yes. Yes, we do have a group that's approved, and yes, we can approve any contractor out there, but the key is, Natalie, is to get them approved right up front. And because what really you know irritates the real estate agents is, why does it take so long to write a contract and get to settlement? And the real key is getting a contractor that responds quickly and
okay.
is qualified to be able to do the amount of the repair. And
okay,
we have different layers of contractors. Some only want to do a small job. They only want to do the 1 and 2 week jobs, where we have others that don't want to get out of bed unless they're doing a $150,000 repair.
What happens if the buyer gets approved for $50,000 in repairs, right? And then
mm-hmm.
it turns out it's only going to cost $40,000 in repairs. Can the buyer get that credit at closing as long as it's disclosed, or does that just have to go away?
Well, basically what happened, I'll just give you the flow real quick, because this is really important. And I'm working with the real estate agent in this hand-in-hand, because the client finds a neighborhood, likes a neighborhood for the school system, close to work, family, or whatever, and, you know, they're gung-ho on buying a house. And when they find one, you know, they're thinking the end in mind, nice house, beautiful, and so forth. Right off the bat, I've learned that you got to do a little bit of research and hold the buyer at bay just a little bit. And my first
okay.
question to the real estate agent is, what is the value of the neighborhood? If this home was fixed up, if this home was perfect, what would this home be worth? And does it fit into the neighborhood? And I always use the phrase, I don't want to put a castle in a trailer park.
Okay.
And so
good
you
point.
Can't overimprove. You can't overimprove your purchase because it won't appraise. And if it doesn't appraise, we just wasted a lot of time.
Great, exactly.
So you know, the first thing is, you know, is one-on-one with the real estate agent, getting a value for that. And I asked the agent point blank, you know, how much work do you think needs to be done? You know, because we want to keep it under the neighborhood value. So if that works, you know, they write a contract, they get it approved, and we get a home inspection, and whatever comes up on the home inspection, we have to address, and we get a contractor to address those questions or problems with a price. So they come back with a cost breakdown. And for instance, real simple, let's say, okay, we have a contract to buy a house for $150,000, we got $50,000 worth of repairs. So that is a total of $200,000. It has to appraise for at least $200,000 or above.
Okay.
And if it does,
okay,
it works for us.
Okay.
But it works for us.
One of the questions I have, so say it's $50,000 in repairs, but and the contractors are the general contractors that are on your list, for example, right? But
mm-hmm.
but that they have a contractor maybe that can do it for $10,000 or $15,000 less, just because you know it's total general contractor who's licensed and everything, but maybe they can do it less just because it's a friend of the family's or they're giving them a discount or you know for many reasons, right? Can they in that loan use that extra cash as long as it's on the HUD, as long as it's disclosed that, hey, you know, our loan is, if they want to take a loan on that amount, here's the loan for $200,000, the place appraised for $200,000, it has $50,000 in repairs that the lender's approved, and now it comes out, you know, that $50,000, it's paid on at the HUD, but will they give it to the home buyer to use to pay out to the contractor, or does it escrow to be paid for the contractor? I guess that's, you know, and... If there's
great
extra,
question.
Can
great
they get
question.
It back? You know that kind of like
great
one
question.
Two
what
ten.
Happens? You know, just like on a construction loan, we have one settlement up front. We pay off the owner of the home, the seller of the home. He gets his $150,000, and we escrow. We hold back the other $50,000. We hold back.
Okay, so it is an escrow.
It is an escrow, and we pay the builder or contractor in a form of draws.
Okay.
And so the work has to be completed. We inspect it, and
okay,
we reimburse them for the amount of work that was done.
So it's like a construction loan in a sense, really, in a way. But it, and even on the smaller repairs, you know, the 203K or any of them, you have to kind of tie that in that way, an escrow?
Right, exactly. Now, with
okay,
the escrow holdback, because it's only $10,000, there's only one draw, and that's the final. So... for instance, I just did one down in Edgewood where termite damage around a window, needed a stove, termite damage, and, you know, they bought it on Friday, made all the repairs, cleaned it up. We did a final inspection Tuesday, and the house was done. We don't advance any money to the builder. You know, something small like
okay,
that, whoever the contractor
right,
is should have the money.
Okay.
The next phase would be the 203K streamline, which has up to $35,000. Again, that
okay,
one there is generally we can advance them
okay,
startup money. You know, that is one of the
so
other ones
so
we can advance, you know, a little
over,
bit up front.
Well, what if all the work's done and there's money left over? Does then it get legally turned over to the borrower because it's still in their loan amount? Or you're not going to redo the loan amount because you've already closed, basically?
Correct. Normally what happens there, one of two things is, at that point, as we come down to the end, if there's some extra money, they generally upgrade with the contractor. You know, they may take the money and upgrade, you know, lighting or appliances or something.
Okay.
Or if not, we just apply it right to the principal.
Because people would wonder, you know, hey, wait a minute, if I can cut corners on the cost, can I use that money for other things I want for the house? But you're okay, so it has to go through the contractor. That's great. It's good to know. So on the home style loan, then that's the 5% down, and that home style loan is conventional. It's not a FHA, right?
That's correct. It's a 5% down renovation loan. Where we can finance, you know, 5% down up to 417 or 10% down, you know, depending on your county that you're in. And same thing like we had before, one settlement. So the seller's paid, the realtors are paid, and then I have the responsibility of taking it from settlement table to the final inspection.
Because in the old days, you could have two closings kind of thing. I mean, it's done different. It was done differently sometimes, depending on the type of.
Well, it was done differently because a lot of companies did not do their own.
Okay, that makes sense.
Did not do their own. They would use a small savings loan or a small bank, mom and pop bank, that would do the construction loan, and then when they got to the finish line, they would modify them or refinance them into the permanent loan.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. So then, so you've got the escrow holdback, home style, FHA 203K streamline. In any of these, do you have to get two appraisals? I mean, you always need two appraisals regardless, right? Before and after?
No. No.
Not
at
all.
Don't. It's one appraisal. See, that's the key,
wow,
and that's where they've
too.
Kind
that's
of streamlined
very different
it.
Too.
Yeah, because it's one appraisal up front on the finished product. You know, remember,
any,
I have a contract for 150.
Okay.
You know, we have a contract for 150, and then we have a cost breakdown from a contractor for 50,000 repairs. So we go, well, this house appraised, Mr. Appraiser, here you go. You know, we're buying the house, needs work, and we're going to do this work. What's it worth?
So that for any one of these three programs that we're talking about today, it's only one appraisal. It's not two appraisals.
Correct. It's one appraisal, and we do a final to make sure the work that was complete per the original appraisal.
Okay.
Because what happens, Natalie, it's not as is. It's subject to. This home is worth
right.
$205,000, subject to putting in new basement steps, carpeting, and appliances. Subject to a new roof.
Right.
So
and then,
we're just getting one appraisal done right up front.
Because years ago, I mean, it used to be two appraisals. So the one appraisal, though, I'm assuming is going to cost more money for the client, right, because the appraiser has to do more work. So it's going to be a...
No. I mean, a normal...
Wow.
If you buy a little bit more. Yeah, a little bit more. I mean, if you're doing a normal purchase today, which is generally around $375 or $400, they generally tack on $100 for the amount of work that they have to do. So, yes, you're right. It'll be, you know, I like to say $500 to be safe.
That's nothing.
But, again, you're only doing one appraisal instead of two.
No, that's nothing. I mean, I see on commercial ones, they charge so much more money because if they need the now value and the after value, you know, type of thing. So that's fantastic. Wow, this is exciting.
Well, and
you really are a pro.
Well, and again, I mean, that's why after like 18 years working with one company, I was looking ahead and saying, hey, where's the future going? And, you know, for those people who live in Maryland, I can tell you right now, November of 2013, we had 500 home path listings on the market. So that's Fannie Mae repos of homes that the keys were turned in and Fannie Mae got back 500 homes, and today, I just looked at it yesterday, it was 1,457.
Wow.
So we've almost tripled,
amazing.
Natalie, in 14 months.
And that's the Fannie
and
Mae.
And we're going to see more and more of these homes on the market where, you know, people just can't afford them, lost their jobs.
So the HUD homes, remember, because HUD homes, like different HUD would always have, you know, sometimes it was PEMCO, it was other companies, you know, handle. They always have different companies, you know, handle these projects, right? The Fannie Mae and the Freddie Mac.
Sure.
So the home path, just for our listeners, is basically under, is it all Fannie Mae home path, or can it be Freddie Mac too?
That's correct.
Strictly Fannie Mae. It's all Fannie Mae.
Strictly Fannie Mae. In fact, October 7th last year, home path did away with their own mortgages. So the home path renovation loan basically went away 100% October 7th. So these home path listings are out there. The new homeowners have to go one of either the 203K or they have to go the home style to make the repairs. There's no more home path renovation loans.
Is that why? Okay, because I noticed some people were talking to us about the commission things have changed, you know, because they used to pay higher commissions on these types of properties, and now they've really changed it. So when you say October 7th, is that 2014 or 13?
2014.
Okay, so that's really going to open it up for you guys to be able to just, and I would think it's going to streamline the process, though. It's going to probably be better overall for what
well,
you
it,
do.
Well, it's... definitely going to help, but I mean, you know, if you just go to, you know, homepath.com, you know, for the listeners, just www.homepath.com, you know, that, you know, you can type in a county, you know, if you want to look at Baltimore County, Harford County, Cecil County, whatever county that you live in, for the state you live in, you type in the state, type in the county, and you can even put in a price range, you know,
okay.
from, you know, zero to, you know, 500,000, 600,000, whatever you want, and just hit search, and it'll pull up everything in that county. It'll pull up everything
that's
in that county, or if you could, or you could do what I did for the state, you know, the state of Maryland, and just I just typed in the state of Maryland all, and I did it for Delaware. Delaware, I believe, had 137. Virginia had 609. So
you know,
believe it or not,
so,
you know,
that's amazing. Well, HUD, the HUD homes. Tell what's the difference with it's going to be if it's going to be a HUD considered a HUD property, home path property, just for our listeners. What's the difference? Is it going to be? The HUD
home. One's going to be an FHA loan.
Okay.
One's going to be FHA. We're FHA would be the HUD repo. The FHA repo would be HUD. And if it's owned by Fannie Mae, you know, it's going to be, you know, the Fannie Mae home path.
Okay. And then if it's Freddie Mac, I don't know what they're doing.
Freddie Mac, believe it or not, has something called Home Steps. So you can look up homesteps.com, and that is the offshoot of the HUD, the Fannie, and now the Freddie is the Homesteps.
Oh, cool. Well, you really are the mortgage doctor. You know your stuff.
Well, it's something that I've learned that there's definitely a big need. You know, there's a need, and
yeah.
You know, I always like to say knowledge is power. You know, knowledge is power.
Okay.
And for the consumer, I don't want them just going out there, you know, wasting a lot of time. I want them to know, you know, the options that they have, know what it costs, know what they can afford, you know, to purchase, and, you know, also how much money they're going to need before they go looking.
It sounds like you really do a good job, too, of looking at the big picture to see, you know, yeah, because a lot of people are coming to you for, they're coming to you for that advice. And I think here in our industry, because we deal with a lot of affiliates, too, so we're on the teleseminars, and you know, buyers many times are just saying, "How can I get the best rate and points?" You know, I don't care who I go to. I want to be the best rate and points. And then they may not realize that they can be that. Not, I don't want to say hidden, because now there's so many laws. Thank God were changed. You know, and they have the GFIs can only be 10% off or whatever. There's just so many rules and stipulations. But people don't realize that. Just because they may be saving in one area, they may be hurting themselves in another area if they go to someone who doesn't have a clue about what they're selling them, or if they don't care about what they're selling them, right? You know, type of thing. You know,
you're
very important.
You're absolutely right there, Natalie. That's why I started last weekend. In fact, it was the first weekend. I have booked a buying a home in today's market workshops the first two Saturdays of every month from January through May. I decided to open it up. I direct mail my past database of over 11,000 people, Facebook, LinkedIn, letting them know that, you know, if you want to spend an hour, come on in, sit down, have a cup of coffee, and we'll kind of walk through the process and kind of give them the ABCs of, you know, what's needed. And you just made a real good point there when you said, you know, what's your rates, what's your points. One of the first things I do in the first 5 minutes is I take them our what I call the Bible, which shows the cost to buy money, you know, the down payment versus mm-hmm. the credit score, and actually show them the difference between, you know, if you're a 699 versus a, you know, 700 credit score, and I show them, you know, the risk
wow.
add-on, and I also show what it looks like on a rate sheet. So
wow.
You know, when you say to a lender, "Hey, what's your rates? What's your points?" We come back and say, "What's your credit score?"
How do they get information about your workshops? Go strictly to same to email you or call you or?
Oh, absolutely. Either or. We're right here. Saturday mornings, like I said, the first and second Saturday mornings, we go from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Sign in at 9:30. The afternoon version we do one right after lunch. Registration at 1:00. We go 1:30 to 2:30, and. It's right here on Laura Bush Road, Bel Air, Maryland, Emerton Professional Building. They can call me, email me, and
okay, so
I'll send them the link.
Your number again is 443-286-1212. Okay, 443-286-1212, and your email is ed.nawr@lionbank.com. And that's perfect. But and then also, if you can always go to realtyuniversal.com or radio@realtyuniversal.com and contact us, and we'll forward you over as well. But it's great to contact Ed directly. And this is just—it's wonderful what you're doing. These workshops are just fantastic, and it makes such a difference when people get in and set up a plan. And can you believe we're already almost over the radio show? I mean, is this how fast the time went by? And we still have more to cover. We still have more to cover. We're going to have to bring you back too, if you don't. If I would love to have you back.
No problem.
This is when you look at, we're going to go over a little bit about some motivational tips and things too, because we have a lot of listeners that are agents and brokers, and archive listeners that will listen in the future too. It seems nowadays this is the best way people love to do a show, because we have people from all over, and they don't have to get on today at this time. They're able to listen, and it's just wonderful. We thank our listeners. We can always see our archive listeners, and we have so many. We've had over 65,000 listeners in this short time that we've been doing this, and it's just wonderful. So if you're listening to this later, don't feel like you missed the boat at all. You can get in touch with Ed. You can get in touch with us also to pass you on. Wonderful information. So with your workshops, I wish you guys, you should definitely tape them, because it's important to be able to pass on the information, and some people may not be able to go, you know, or be there, or say they're in another area, another state. It would be great to get that information as well. What do you, before we go over some motivational tips, out of the three renovation programs, do you like one the best, or it just really depends on the person?
It really depends on the property, because it's totally property dictated. If it's minor, you know, under 10,000, it's, you know, 0 to 10, 10 to 35, and 35 and above. So depending on the shape of the property.
Now, what if the property, does it have to be, this is a question I meant to ask it, does it have to be residential, or can it be semi-commercial? Can it be like our residential office, or does it have to be totally zoned residential?
Great, great question. All of these programs are strictly residential. They have to be residential for primary residence, second home, or investor.
Okay, so even
In fact, that's a good point there. Our home style can be 15% down investor. So instead of putting 20% down, the home style program is geared to investors for 15% down.
Home style, then, that would be – okay, so that's going to be on the – so that's really cool. Okay.
That is the only investor one out there. That is the only investor –
okay. Well, what if you're – okay, for example, I mean, I've done many, many, many deals in Baltimore County and Carroll County over the years. Baltimore County, okay, just for an example, a zoning is called residential office. I used to own a building that was literally looked like a 100-year-old, house, 2,000-square-foot house on an acre. We didn't live there, and that's where our office was for years. Residential office zoning. I went to get it upzoned commercial later. I didn't get approved for full commercial and end up, you know, that – so – but – that's residential office. So say you have a place, and when I bought that, my brother ended up renovating the entire place for me. You know, had to have it because he was in construction. Okay. That would be a prime example. Somebody wants to buy that property and goes, this is perfect. And you know what? We can get it renovated for $50,000, $75,000, whatever. And they want to come to you. When you pull up the zoning, is that going to be a no because it's residential office, or because it has the residential zoning too? Can it work or no?
Great question. I just had one a week ago. At that point, what it really comes down to, Natalie, is what is the best use of that property today? What is the best use? I have one a week ago where the house is right behind a restaurant, and it has a small backyard, and it's more of a parking lot for the restaurant, and it's zoned commercial. Commercial residential, just what you're talking about. But, you know, the house is so small and the people have been living there for 3 years. It was a privately held mortgage. And there's no way you could turn that into a barbershop or anything because it's a house. And the appraiser said, you know, the best use for that would be residential. Even though, as what you just said, it's zoned commercial/residential, it would go residential and we could fix it.
So they really need to check with you first before assuming one way or the other, and it's probably a good idea, you know, to check with you before the agents, before everybody puts a lot of time into contracts, right, just to see if it's going to work or not.
Absolutely. I mean, the first check really is going to be with the appraisers because,
okay.
You know, as you just said, you know, it's zoned, Ed. It's zoned commercial, residential, but, you know, I don't know what the best use is. The appraisers
yeah.
will tell us.
Okay. Okay. Well, this has been very enlightening. We've only got about 10 minutes left, so we're going to just kind of recap. And been speaking with Ed Noroa. What nationality is your last name? I'm
Czechoslovakian.
Are you really? Oh, that's so cool.
It's Czechoslovakian. It's spelled with a W. Sounds, you know, like a V. Navajo. Navajo, Noroa. You know,
I love it. Were you first generation coming over?
No.
Okay.
Second or third.
Okay. Okay, awesome. I love it. You are just amazing, and we have to get you back. We could talk about the home buyer seminars, the construction seminars, the loan. I mean, you just are a wealth of knowledge, you know. It's we could do a 3-day workshop. There's not enough time in this hour to do, you know, to even go over and touch on all of it. So, for our listeners out there, please definitely get in touch with Ed. And you know how to reach us, too, if you want us to pass on the information. And also, you can be referred nationwide, right, through this.
Right. That's correct.
I noticed you were talk about, I got one of your emails about the tips for people that are going to, what separates you from your competition, and how to get reorganized and re-energize your focus for 2015. And, you know, this time of year is where everybody, I mean, almost everybody, and including me, we make our New Year's resolutions, and everybody says, okay, I'm just going to eat through the holidays. I need to lose weight. And then everybody's, I can't do it. Let's just not do it now. Let's start January 1st. And many, many people make reservations or bet with each other and things. And by the time three weeks, a month, month and a half roll around, it's out the window, right?
Correct.
And you've got some great tips here. I'm just going to recap a little. Just you've got on what I was reading that you wrote. You've got 5 tips here, and the starting off is celebrate success. Give us a tidbit on that.
Well, you know, don't just rest on your laurels, whatever you did last year. You know, when you're setting your goals, you also have to have a vision. To look at the market and say, okay, where was my success in 2014, and how can I take it to the next level? Never just be satisfied with X amount of volume. Always be looking ahead to increase your numbers and to be able to, what I call, help more people.
And pat yourself on the back to give yourself credit for what you did, too. I think sometimes we're our worst critics. You know, we go, we really can have accomplished a lot, but we don't think we did because we're always trying to go to the next goal. You know, I think I love that, you know, so celebrate it is what you said. Number 2, you said build off of a baseline. And that's to use your accomplishments, you said, as a springboard?
Accomplishments, and also use your databases. You know,
okay.
Go back to the people that you've helped to get to where you are today, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Believe it or not, people love to help people that need help, and don't just think that people are going to reach out to you. Definitely, you know, ask your friends, your past clients, your family, and everybody, you know, hey, I want to grow my business, and, you know, can I count on you? Can you help me refer a friend?
Then you've got automated marketing in there too. Do you recommend any type of email database program? Because now there's just so many to choose from.
Yes, there is. I mean, whatever works for your industry. I mean, there's
okay.
Realtor-generated, mortgage-generated, there's Top of Mind. I mean, all the different mortgage companies have their own brand or slices of a brand. But, you know, you definitely got to stay in contact with your past clients. And we have a drip campaign for 2 types of prospects. We have those with challenge credit, and we have those that are saving to buy a home. And it's set up where we have 9 touches over 75 days for the challenge credit. And once they get through that 75 days, and we put them in a 180-day, 6-month campaign where we're going to touch them 13 times with little nuggets email to them automatically.
Fantastic. That's really good, because nowadays it's even hard to get through. And then you've got, okay, ask for advice. Like you said, ask your peers and everything. Find a peer benchmark. Okay, so this is, I see, this is, you wrote, know a colleague who performs a task exceptionally well. Learn more about their strategies and tools they use, right? So that's kind of like, you want to kind of find mentors, right? Find people that know, that know what they're doing.
That's absolutely right. Back when I started, remember when I said I started doing first-time home buying seminars? One of my buddies, Greg Frost from Albuquerque, New Mexico, who's been in business, you know, probably 10 years before I got in, designed a course, and he was teaching it. And, you know, one of his rules was, you know your goals and set your goals. And by setting the goals, you have to set your seminars, and you have to let them know that you're just not going to do them once a month. You're going to do them every month. So the consumer and the realtors know that you're not a one-trick pony. You're going to be there for the long haul. And just like in my seminars, they're booked twice a month from, you know, January through May, and then I'm going to come up with a summer schedule. So the consumer knows I'm going to be here to help you every weekend when you need it.
That's fantastic. We do that with Realty Universal Membership. We teach and train our agents and brokers nationwide. And we have scheduling, and it's just, but they're all agents and brokers, and it's it really does make a difference when you have accountability. It really does, and it's so then you've got broadcast your goals, so share them, and that's part of the accountability, right? That's where coaches come in and helping.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And getting into this and learning from experts. And I always like to tell everybody, never be afraid to ask a question, because there's no dumb question. You know, lots of times people are in new, or they don't know, and they're afraid to ask. Oh, no, I feel like that's a stupid question. No, I can't ask. Well, how are you going to learn if you don't ask, right? So we ask
that's correct.
Many, many, many questions. Well, it has been a pleasure. We've just got about 3 minutes left here. So I'm going to turn the rest of it over to you. You've been talking. Are you tired of talking already? It's been an hour almost. It's
No, wow, I mean, I'll tell you. Time flies when you're having fun.
It certainly does. It really does. It's just, phew, it's amazing how fast it goes by.
Real quick, Natalie, if I could, I'd just like to say a couple things out there to the realtors. Realtors, you know, definitely team up with your mortgage partners. Think of yourself as a professional. Work with within a team. Yeah, form a team of, you know, lenders, title, where you guys are all focused on the same, and definitely demand communication. One of my goals for 2015 was to surround myself with an upgrade, as I call it, of suppliers, and that's my title suppliers, my appraisers, everybody. I want communication, because we got to get back to the old days, and I say the old days, 1990, where we didn't have, you know, all the emails, and we had the big bag phones and all, you know, but we called the people. We personally let them know that we care, and, you know, we made our phone calls once a week, and basically, you know, I set up systems for the, you know, communication with all my suppliers. I mean, everyone has to status me, because I want my customers to know that I'm hands-on and I know what's going on and I'm here to help them. So,
you know, that,
realtors,
that
you know, and again, you know, for the realtors, if you can, you know, just focus on your client and let them know and get back to them. The number one complaint that I get as a lender is that they're not getting feedback. We had a showing, Ed. We had three people come in Saturday. Here it is Wednesday, and I don't know whether they liked my house or didn't like my house.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the agent that brought them in. You know, they didn't give the feedback, but also, you know, the showing agent, you got to ask for that feedback. So definitely
exactly.
Communicate. I mean, that would
– yep. I've heard a lot of people complain and say, hey, we've only got like less than a minute, so we're going, but a lot of people saying, hey, you know, well, I didn't have anything to tell them. It doesn't matter. Communicate that, hey, we're touching base. There's nothing new, but that we're letting you know we're on it, you know, type of thing, right? Not, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And again, you know,
huh?
And again, I mean, no news. If you don't have any news, just tell them that, you know, there's nothing new to report, but at least
exactly.
That you touched them.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's just, oh, gosh, it's been such a pleasure. At the end of our show, it's always like the time goes by too fast, and we're just about, and it's been such a pleasure having you on. I hope you'll come back. Maybe we can get you on some teleseminars with our agents, too, agent brokers, because you really know know it, all your stuff. And I hope everybody
absolutely
takes advantage of these programs.
And, love to come back in, Natalie. And again, my number direct to my desk is 443-286-1212. Again, 443-286-1212, or you can email me directly at ed.naworol@lionbank.com.
Fantastic. And to everybody out there, I'll talk to you next week, and I wish you peace.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.